You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me. As a little bit of a promotion, I'm going to be at the Money Show in Las Vegas. If any of you guys want to get to Vegas July 19th to 22nd, I'm doing a little workshop there. It's at Caesar's Palace. But you've got to go to my website or go to Money Show and click on to sign up. It's free. And I'm doing a little 45-minute workshop. I haven't done this for several years. Usually we do this online. So it's a little warm this time of year there, but it'll be an interesting change for a couple of days. So it's the moneyshow.com. I want to throw that out. So chance to meet face-to-face, so to speak, if you want to go to Vegas that time of year.
Yeah, if you've lost all your money at the craps table, you can always make some eggs on the sidewalk. It's that hot.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
It is. But I've been there in the summer before, and I'm here in Phoenix now. And,
You're used to it.
That's why they invented air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like being in when I lived in Chicago, and we had some 80 below wind chill days when I was there over 13 or 14 years in the winters. You know, that's why they invented heat. So you don't stand outside, but a lot of cool spots in Vegas, so it might be of interest to some of our listeners at House Street.
Mark, the big excitement is the SpaceX IPO. What can you tell us about it?
Well, we talked about the last couple of weeks, and the whole street is, gearing up for it. They priced it today. So the official price it's supposed to be priced at, in other words, what you would buy at if you can get some of the IPO shares, is $135 a share. According to, experts who monitor this thing, basically it's, a bit overpriced. If you weigh against the actual earnings of SpaceX, the current earnings, things don't balance out so much. In fact, according to the numbers, SpaceX actually lost $4.9 billion in 2025 at this valuation, and the valuation grew 14 times through the years, through internal shares. In other words, the private placements and other private investments that came in. So basically, if you can get some shares in the IPO, how it's going to trade after that. This is what I'm hearing from the numbers today. They also say official pricing is June 11th and it debuts on June 12th. So I guess something could change between now and then. The bottom line is there's a lot of cross currents about what it's worth. And, I remember when Tesla went public years ago, there were a lot of skeptics about that too. It is true the company is not in a super profitable position right now based on this $135 number, and this is not my calculation, but they say the valuation is almost 94 times annual revenue, which is pretty big. When Tesla went public, it traded just around 17 times. So you wonder how it's going to trade. Will it open up and just sell off, or will the demand still be so great that it'll go higher? And ultimately, it's a long-term play. I mean, if we're going to Mars and we're going to be building moon bases and we're going to be building AI data centers on the moon and all these things that supposedly are coming in our future. But at the moment, from what I understand, the Starlink satellites are the only real profit center for the company. So you're buying a vision, you're buying Elon Musk, and should be interesting. Now, the other side of it, we talked about this last week, it's sort of a drain on the financial system in a sense. In other words, for people that are buying this, do they have to sell something else to buy this? And raising, all these tens of billions of dollars sort of sucks money out of the system a little bit. In other words, money that may have gone elsewhere, might be going into this, and that might explain why some stocks are not performing as well. For example, today, Broadcom sold off big, even though the numbers were positive. It fell 13% after hours in their chip manufacturer. So, the market indicated a little toppy action, I thought, yesterday, even though it bounced back significantly today. So there's some concerns about what will happen after the offering. Will that be sort of a sign, or maybe we're already seeing the signs of a short-term market top? And, we do have the summer solstice coming up, June 21st, 22nd. And as you know, I've talked about the solstices and the equinoxes for years. And markets often change direction, around that time frame. And maybe it's changing direction now in early June. Doesn't have to be exactly June 20th to the 21st time frame. So you get sometimes seasonal changes in the market. And maybe this SpaceX offering and that together, might be a little bit of more than coincidence in terms of what the market may do this summer. So, obviously people that are in the Dow Industrials, they're happy because it was up really big in trading today. It was off a few hundred points yesterday. It was up almost 900 today into new record highs. And a lot of that has to do with, I think, the flight of capital, from around the world that tends to invest in the U.S. markets when things are uncertain elsewhere. And money tends to go to the blue chips like the Dow Industrials. So, money could be coming out of Europe. Maybe we still have an Iran conflict there. There are even some rumors I had read on the tape that Iran may already have some type of nuclear capability, whether that's true or not. So there's a lot of cross currents out here, but the Dow seems to be surging, and it might be just a place, so-called, for to put safe money or safer money than perhaps in other parts of the world. In any event, that sort of outperformed other indexes here today a little bit. Some of the high-tech names, as I mentioned, Broadcom coming off a little bit. I don't want to sound that I'm bearish, but, if you look at how the chip stocks, the Microns of the world, and all the high flyers have acted, they're just in the stratosphere, and there's certainly room where the force of gravity could come in here, and we could see a pullback. So little nervous about that. And, coming up, today's day. We've got over a week and a half coming up. We have the first Fed meeting with Warsh as the Fed chairman. And, my opinion about that. I think, rates should be lowered. I think I went into some of the details in a previous interview about that, but basically my view is that higher rates raise business costs, and a big surprise could be that maybe he doesn't rate that he doesn't do nothing. Maybe he actually does lower rates. And what people don't understand is that companies, borrowing money for inventory and expansion, real estate, face higher cost if rates go up. And even though some of the data is saying, we should see rates, the short-term rates go higher, the Fed fund rates go higher, when they do that, the costs are passed on to consumers, and that's higher prices. And not even discussing the federal debt in the U.S., the debt is being paid at high interest rates, and by lowering the rates, that reduces government interest payments, which is good. So, raising the Fed funds rate actually makes inflation worse, in my opinion, and not to mention housing costs can go up and mortgages can go up and so forth. So, the big surprise would be that no one's talking about it, but if you watch the bond market, the short-term bonds and the treasuries, they were staging a little bit of a rally here in recent sessions, actually up a little, the bond market up a little bit today, not as high as it was 2-3 days ago, but basically from May 20th to roughly, let's see here, it's probably maybe 3-4 days ago, end of May, the bond market was rallying, and that you know, that's sort of the tail wagging the dog. In other words, in the bond market rally, that implies lower rates. So maybe there's a glimmer out here that rates could be lowered, which I think would surprise most how the market would react to that. I would think it would be positive, but you know, who knows how the market, but I think, you know, we are watching the bond market, and as I mentioned, tail wagging the dog. If the bond markets are rallying, those are longer term rates, and that's more important than what the Fed fund rate does. But it'll be interesting to see what Warsh does. You know, there's a lot of shenanigans at the Fed. You can read the book Creature from Jekyll Island and learn all about the history of the Federal Reserve. And if you just study its actions in the last since 1913, so, you know, over 100 years, and obviously there's a lot of reasons to be a critic of the Federal Reserve. And of course, my position has been forever that it should be abolished, and there's some congressmen here that have put in bills just to do that, but nothing goes anywhere. I guess there's too much political pressure to keep it, but really we could do without it. We didn't have a national bank for many years. Way back in the 19th century, Andrew Jackson abolished the national bank and paid off debt, and there was a whole period where we didn't have it. So I'm more of a free market type person, more of a Milton Friedman type, where, you know, let the market decide what rates are, you know, not some government agency that tends to blunder just about everything it does, and the Fed included. Now, whether Warsh will change that, I doubt it, but I guess we could be, you know, we can be hopeful for that. So, you know, I'm just covering a lot of bases here, Jim. I sort of an introduction, but that's sort of, you know, summary of the short-term picture.
What's your outlook on crude?
I'm always bullish on crude oil because I still think there's a lot of, you know, demand for it around the world, and the supplies need to be replenished. And most of the charts are saying we should, you know, pull back more. But for the longest time, I felt looking at overall inflation and what other commodities have done. You know, you can talk about gold and silver and copper and platinum and palladium and agricultural commodities, but crude was way behind in terms of adjusting for general price increases everywhere. So, you know, I think the world could live with $100 in oil, per barrel oil. I mean, it's, for years, it was trading in the 60s, 70s, and that really doesn't adjust for inflation. But I think, you know, a lot of world demand unrelated, you know, to the current Iranian situation. I just think, you know, most of the world relies on crude oil. And, you know, China, we know for sure. And there's a lot of demand for the product. And, you know, so I'm not a bear on it. I love the oil stocks. I mean, names like, you know, Chevron and so forth that pay very nice dividends. And they seem to make money, you know, no matter where crude oil is trading. So, you know, I'm probably more of a bull just holding, you know, some of the oil stocks that pay good dividends. And I mentioned this before, but I'm not, you know, looking for, you know, big sell-off. If there is one, I think it would be a buy. And in fact, that was actually the case here the last few days. You know, we started to see more rumblings out of, Iran and the Strait of Hormuz nonsense. And, you know, crude oil was heading south, and, everybody's all excited about it going. And then something that pops here the last, two or three days, you know, on geopolitical concerns. But, you know, looking at the overall chart on crude oil and the oil stocks, they still look like bull markets to me overall, you know. So I'm you know, more of a bull overall, but more on the shares. And I'm not trading crude oil itself, but I'm pretty active looking at the oil shares for the dividend reason I mentioned.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with gold and silver?
Well, I think we talked about this a little bit last week. There's this proposed legislation called the ARMA Act, A-R-M-A Act, and it concerns both crypto and gold, and it's called the American Reserve Modernization Act of 2026, and it's bipartisan, which is sort of interesting. So some of the key points, and it ties both these markets together, since we're discussing crude, we might as well talk about other markets and now talk about gold and Bitcoin too. So the bill primarily directs the U.S. Treasury to accumulate up to 1 million, you know, Bitcoins over the next 5 years. And that proposes a broader digital asset stockpile that the federal government holds in terms of cryptocurrency. So, you know, this is sort of another version of that Bitcoin Act introduced in 2024-25, so version two of it. So basically, it matters, and this ties into the gold, so I'm not getting too much off the subject, but it ties in together. So they argue that it puts, you know, the U.S. competitively in the Bitcoin market as a national reserve and as an asset and so forth. And I know those critics are worried about volatility and so forth. So I guess the most controversial part of it is not just the Bitcoin reserve, but there's a part of it which is really interesting to, I would think, the gold people would really enjoy. It's a discussion around possible revaluing the U.S. gold reserves to help finance it, okay? So, you know, as you probably remember in history, the U.S. Treasury officially values gold at $42.22 an ounce. This goes way back to 1973. Now, we all know gold is not trading at $42.22. It's trading at 100 times that amount, at $4,500 or thereabouts. So what happens if, you know, U.S. reportedly holds 8,100 metric tons of gold, and reportedly it's at Fort Knox, which I really don't believe, but that's a whole other discussion. It could be other locations or wherever it is. But if the revaluation means that we would have to authorize the Treasury to mark those reserves closer to market prices. So imagine overnight gold is now officially priced at the U.S. government level, but wherever gold is, $4,500, $4,400, $5,000. So it instantly creates hundreds of billions of dollars, over $1 trillion in new balance sheet value for the U.S. government. So this allows the government to purchase up to a million of Bitcoin, broader sovereign reserve restructuring or debt management initiatives. So this is not confirmed. It's just something in discussion. But when you really think about it, you know, there is some historical precedent for it going back to 1934 with Franklin Roosevelt. So gold was raised back then. It was a different percentage and so forth. But I don't know if you remember your history, but back in 1934, gold was officially at $20.67 an ounce, and they adjusted it, almost doubled it to $35 an ounce. So that at the time, it effectively devalued the dollar and expanded government monetary flexibility. So this is sort of a modern version of that, except on a much larger scale. So this would benefit gold miners significantly. Silver could outperform and so forth. Bitcoin would surge because of this connection in terms of the financing for the Bitcoin reserve. So, you know, just a lot of interesting stuff here going on in the background. Of course, you know, we've been talking the last year or so in Bitcoin about the Clarity Act, which is still pending in Congress. It looked like it was getting closer, and that helps crypto. And that hasn't happened yet. May not happen till the fall. You know, sometimes you talk about this ARMA Act. You know, it may not happen for a while, but the fact it's being discussed, and when you think about what makes sense in terms of pricing an asset, why the U.S. government would price gold and still price it as an asset at $42 an ounce is stupid, obviously. So I'm sure they don't value other assets, real estate and others, at low levels. I would assume they adjust it to market, but maybe not. We have to do a little homework on that one. Anyway, it's interesting in terms of the effect on the gold and silver market eventually. Doesn't mean it, you know, gold can still correct in the meantime. And, you know, when we get a market correction, they throw the baby out with the bathwater. And sometimes, you know, gold follows it. Other times it diverges. It's just a matter of, you know, where liquidity is in the market at that particular time. But, you know, I'm overall bullish. I mean, I've been in gold, you know, from the 1970s on, 80s, you know, and watched it go up and down significantly along the way. So, you know, I wouldn't sell any coins in the vault. And obviously, if, you know, there's a bigger shakeout, there'd be another buying opportunity. But it seems like the shares, the big companies like Newmont and others, you know, Agnico Eagle and stuff, you know, just based on current pricing of gold, are just making a lot more money than they did. And we've already seen this in some earnings reports. So the shares, in fact, some that pay dividends, you know, I think Newmont pays a dividend, would be, you know, pretty good overall investments just based on the fact that they're profitable companies with gold at current levels, or even if it went a little bit lower, just comparing to what gold had been in recent years. And there are shortages out there in silver, industrial shortages. There's all these quotes coming from overseas that contracts supposedly are being consummated in silver, like $125, $130 an ounce, the guaranteed delivery, because the numbers we see on the screen, that's $74 for silver, for example, is just the futures price, which doesn't necessarily represent actual physical silver. It represents paper contracts. But some of the stories are out there are saying, well, companies that actually need the silver itself and it needed for manufacturing other purpose, and we actually need to get it delivered, they have to pay up to actually get it. And that number is considerably higher than where you see the actual price being quoted on your screen every day. So that sort of tells you demand, at least for the silver market, says that, you know, there's a higher price is ultimately coming. And hopefully, the best thing, inclusive of closing the Federal Reserve, inclusive, in my opinion, closing the COMEX in New York, which has been a bastion of inappropriate activity for decades, with paper, silver, and gold as well, trading unrelated to the physical assets that are supposed to be behind those contracts. So that's a whole other discussion. But whether that'll happen or not, it was up to me. I close it and just let the physical market determine prices, just like I would have the free market determine interest rates versus the Federal Reserve. But that's just my opinion. So we have a lot of you know, interesting things going on in the background, you know, everything from SpaceX to, you know, what interest rates are going to do here and what the Fed's going to do. And, you know, will the market go through a little bit of a correction after the SpaceX offering? Like I say, we're seeing some hints of it now in some of the big name chip stocks and others that are just sky high. So, you know, it wouldn't shock me if we got a little bit of a pullback in those names. But as we saw today, and I'm being a little repetitive here, but the Dow Industrials was really strong, while some of the chip stocks like Broadcom, you know, sold off. So it could be a result of where money is flowing. You know, the money may just flow out of the speculative big names and move into, quote-unquote, the conservative Dow Industrials. And you know, you just may see a rotation. So not necessarily the whole market collapses, but some of the high flyers might give up a lot, and maybe the money has to find some place to go besides treasury bills. So I guess some of it would go there, and maybe it'll go into the Dow Industrials, since that's sort of the stalwart, so to speak, of quote-unquote the market for many decades. So it'll be interesting how it all, you know, plays out. So the bottom line is we got to watch here, and, you know, we trade accordingly.
Anything going on with copper and lithium?
All doing well, off their highs a little bit. Still, you know, it's the same thing with uranium. I mean, they hit little peaks and they pulled back. And you know, copper itself is just a few ticks off its high. Sort of double topped actually on the chart. I mean, it's like a little double top formation. So I guess as a trader, I would say it's a little trading bearish here, that it had a top pull back, couldn't break through to a new high, and it might be reflecting, you know, the same over exuberance that we're seeing in some of the high tech names. Lithium is well off its high, and it actually topped out back in May, in early May, and it's been sort of, you know, downtrending since. So of course, we could argue the same thing with you know, the silver and gold market that have pulled back a bit, and along with palladium and platinum. You know, it's not a great time. You know, I guess if you're in the Dow Industrials and you're a long-term investor, I guess you could sit tight. But, you know, I just see the market, you know, a bit extended here, and we're getting some warning signs. And it should be really interesting to see how SpaceX trades in mid-month, and whether that coincides with a market blow off or sell off or however it plays out. So it's not going to be a dull summer.
Mark, anything of interest in the geocosmic front?
We do. You know, as I mentioned, we have the solstice, the summer solstice coming up June 2021st. And the experts are referring to the coronal mass ejections. They call them CMEs, the one that is coming from the sun right now. They call it a cannibal CME, and because it eats other CMEs. So apparently there's particular sunspots. All this is related to sunspots, for those who are not into any of this stuff. You know, when a sunspot is moving around the sun and it kind of points toward the Earth or any of the individual planets, it sort of targets the Earth. It could target Mars or whatever it's pointing to at the time. So it seems to be sort of targeting to us. So there's a sort of a powerful one now. They call it sunspot 4455. So it exploded several times and hurled multiple CMEs into space, and one is headed our way. And, you know, it just might mean a lot of auroras in the northern hemisphere. And it doesn't mean that we're going to have a, an effect like we saw back in the 19th century, you know, with the super CME disrupting, you know, at that time it was only the Western Union line. So, that's what's sort of going on out there. You know, it's just interesting stuff. And, you know, we seem to be more space-oriented now. And, of course, the other thing we didn't talk about is, you know, the upcoming release of Spielberg's UFO film. And this is, you know, as you probably know, it's called Disclosure. So, I don't see CNBC talking much about it, though I've seen some interviews with Spielberg. But that's coming out June 12th, so it's actually around, I think, the same day as SpaceX. That's sort of interesting, because they're releasing it on June 12th. So Disclosure Day might be the same day as SpaceX, so that's sort of an interesting overlap now that I'm looking at the dates. But the cover-up in the UFO sphere has been going on, you know, for decades. And it's something that is of interest, and I have it on my website, and I've had this up before. But if you look at the emblem of the U.S. Space Force and the emblem that appeared on the clothing of the participants in the Star Trek television series and in the movies, the Federation of Planets, it's almost identical. So if you go to my website, you can see this. I'm wondering, you know, this more the coincidence that the United Federation of Planets emblem and the U.S. Space Force emblem are almost identical. And you can say, well, the people of the Space Force were impressed by Star Trek, and they were impressed by it, so they just went ahead and modeled it. Others would argue that, believe it or not, as in the Star Trek series and in the films, that we're in touch. We have a Federation of Planets, and we're in touch with all of them. And perhaps we have that today, but it's not being discussed or revealed for obvious reasons. But, you know, when I go look at what the Vatican says about this, because there's all this concern that, gee, if aliens walk in tomorrow, if we find out there's extraterrestrial life here on Earth, how would that affect people's belief in religion and so forth? And so the churches, that the Vatican has not acknowledged alien visitation, spoke about it and basically says that and it's all part and parcel to the universe, that it's not a negative story with regard to the church, that if we suddenly find out there's other life in the universe because it's all created by the same God. And also an interesting story. There was a crash in 1933 in Italy. And there was one of the whistleblowers with regard to the UFO story talked about this. I think he did in Congress. That apparently in 1933, Pope Pius XII may have passed on information to the United States after World War II regarding this crash in Italy and some of the evidence that which not officially has been released or confirmed, but apparently there was something that involved the church back in 1933 with some type of craft that apparently crashed in Italy, and it's not discussed very much. But Just a lot of stuff going on. We've got the Disclosure film from Spielberg coming out. Looks like the same day that SpaceX is going public. So big level of interest on my part. I've been involved in this avocationally for decades, and it'll be interesting. But whether people, you know, believe what's shown in the Spielberg film or believe what the Pope may have delivered to the United States back in 1933, or believe other events from Roswell all the way to the Kingman crash in 1953. There was the Roswell crash in 1947. You know, you don't have to believe it, but we have seen some interesting side events going on here. And then I'm getting off a little bit of a tangent, but if you recall in the news here in the last few weeks, apparently a lot of top scientists over the years have unremarkably disappeared and have been involved with Area 51 or government projects. And some of these people they haven't been able to find. There's actually some of the big news networks actually picked up on the story. It's about a dozen people that were involved that suddenly, you know, disappeared off the face of the earth that were, you know, top people in the government projects. Now, whether they were nuclear-related or UFO-related, but somewhere in that Area 51 area. So very interesting stuff going on. Listen, we've known forever that government wants to keep control of the populations. You know, history says this for thousands of years. They'll lie to people to keep them in line, and nothing has changed in now or will in the future, unfortunately. So what the truth ultimately is revealed with regard to the, not only the Spielberg film, but what we actually find out about, I'm not holding my breath, because obviously there's stuff that we're just not being told, and probably may not ever be told, because those in power would lose control. So it's interesting times. Meanwhile, we'll sit here, look at the markets, see what the market does here with the summer solstice coming up, with the Fed action or non-action coming up here in mid-month, the film, the Spielberg film, and, of course, the SpaceX announcement. So plenty of things that we could be watching for and looking for some action and excitement that should all be coming around this mid-June time frame.
Mark, exciting times.
A lot of stuff going on, yep.
Mark, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.